Big Church. Welcome here. Good to see you. It's great to be back as well.
So it's good to be back again. Yeah, it's been a great week. Like we said, it is a lot of rain, so I think I am I was in Cape Town and all you do is stay in rain. In Namibia, everybody runs outside. I just love this place where it actually does rain. But I thank God being able to stand here this morning. Carl is coming back tomorrow morning. They're at the conference and they had a pastor summit this whole week as well. So they're finishing up today and then he's on his way back tomorrow morning. He'll be here. So I think next Sunday, Carl will probably be in the pulpit as well. So we trust that he'll be back safely. But yeah, what an awesome privilege to be able to hear and to share what God, I feel, has laid on his heart, on our hearts with this congregation. And yeah, I just want to quickly pray again before we start. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that it is truly your goodness, Lord, that leads us to repentance, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come here this morning, Father God, with open hearts, Father God, not with our minds, Father God, but to receive with our hearts this morning, Lord, Father God. And we just come and commit this time to you, Lord. May it really be fruitful, Father God. May it, Father God, be a time, Lord, that really does multiply into your kingdom, Father God. As we go out, Father God, into this week, Lord, may we not struggle again, Father God, and almost come and fall again next week, Father God, when it comes to Sunday, Lord. But may we really trust you, Father God, to start walking in victory, Father God, to see your name glorified in this town, Lord. Amen. It was about 2 weeks ago when we were at intercession when, I just really started feel God word, a specific word. It's in Psalm 27. We can get a first scripture on. I'm just going to read the whole Psalm 27 for us, and then I'll just stop at a few things afterwards. And yeah, it's just something that really touched me so much. The one main scripture that I felt was Psalm 37, which just talks about waiting and having that patience and knowing the goodness of God and waiting on Him. We look here at Psalm 27. I'm just going to open up my other Bible. It's going to be a bit easier for me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came up against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the day of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in this time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of the tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will see. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me into the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's an unbelievable, powerful declaration that David is doing here. It's just something that I've been reading, and I read it over and read it over and read it over, and a lot of things just started standing out for me. There's 4 points that I just want to highlight quickly, and then we'll go into one of the main points. The first thing is David talks here a lot about God's presence. We can look at those scriptures specifically that talks about God's presence. Help myself out here. In Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That talks about the presence of God, speaking about dwelling in the house of God, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And in the second verse, Reinhold, I think you just skip down. I think you can just go down. No, there we go. One up. The second one is in Psalm 8. Yeah, this bit. Psalm 8. You have said, seek my face. Inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek. Inquire for and inquire the necessity of and the authority of your word. It's just an unbelievable thing that started jumping out of scripture for me. The fact is, in the middle of your situations, where do you run to? What is your heart? And David just declares it so powerfully. You know, he says here, specifically as it puts emphasis between the brackets, he says, you have said, seek my face, Lord, inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. It's an unbelievable thing when we realize in our own lives that nothing is possible without God. John 15 declares that if you're not part of the vine, you will not be able to do anything. I just really feel, yeah, I just really trust this morning. As I said, what I felt 2 weeks ago, the heart of this whole message is just for us to come in a place of walking in more liberty as a church and as a body and come to this place of really understanding God's goodness and not faltering or not, you know, doubting about it, because that is the fact. Bix was just telling me now in the break, and it says, getting to that point where you really understand that God is good and his intentions are always good for you. The thing is, we twist it, we get it wrong, we miss it. We sometimes do and go another route. But the fact of the matter is, God's heart is for us. And I think it's something that I still need to, you know, shift from my mind into my heart, due to the fact that many times in situations, I still don't really trust that. I still don't really grasp that. But it's the heart cry that David gives us here of running into God's temple in the middle of situations, not running to quickly solve the situation or solve the problem. I think I said it in the front service in this part. About 2 years ago, I preached a sermon talking about we shouldn't react to situations. We should just act. The thing is, when you're not in the spirit, when you're not prepared, then a lot of things are going to catch you off guard, and then you're going to have to be able to come and react to the situation due to the fact that you weren't prepared for it. But I really do believe, as God's children, that we should actually just act due to the fact that God has prepared you, and in the spirit, he's already given you the victory for the situation, and therefore you just act. And therefore, David knew his place. He was constantly just asking God, Lord, I just want to stay in your presence, because outside of it, there is no life. And Porti shared something with us that was just such a powerful example of it. Cornei Becker, one of the main speakers at the conference the weekend, shared something. He had to do a little promotion video for the Convert, I think it's for Regent University. So it was basically a two-minute clip saying, Regent University is nice, and we're partnering with you guys, and we're excited to see you. That's it. Nothing much spiritual or whatever. So they put on the video, and Cornei's like there, and he started talking. He's like, no, stop. Okay. He said, okay, take two. And Cornei talked a bit, and he talked a bit, and he's like, no, sorry, stop. He's like, sorry, do you need a moment? He's like, yes, just give me a few minutes. He started walking around, and after a few minutes, he came back. He's like, all right, God said I can do it. That's cool, let's go. And Porti was just so astounded, because he said, like, it was the most, you know, it was almost like, am I not going to take coffee, or am I going to take coffee, you know? But for him, it was a matter of, you know, I haven't got the peace of God, so I'm not going to do this video right now. And that's just such a profound picture for me of how actually we should be living our lives. You know, whatever is not out of faith is sin, the Bible tells us. It's a very high standard, but that's what the Word tells us. And I just feel it's such an amazing picture for me of where we want to be at. And I almost feel we're putting the bar up here this morning, not to say, yo, you're not reaching it, you're not. But the thing is, God has got this freedom for us. So I'm not going to say, let's rather stay on this level, it's fine. I feel we really need to encourage each other with the fact and the amount of freedom God has really got for us. The second thing I just want to highlight out of this portion of scripture is the heart of life is really good. If you can go to the next slide, Ronald. Or not. It's okay. If we look at Psalm 27:13, it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's just awesome for me realizing recently again that life is really good, that the heart of life is really good. Circumstances could probably dictate a lot of time for us that, you know, yeah, it's not always that easy, it's not that easy, and there's a few ups and downs, and then we die. But the fact of the matter is, God's created life to be beautiful and to be awesome. And Fred challenged us once in Bible school, this was many years ago, and he said he was listening to a CD of John Mayer singing the song, The Heart of Life is Good. And he says, this is an unsaved guy, but just almost want to say, God does a revelation. The fact that, yes, there are hard times, and there is, but that is not the main focus of life. That is not what it is about. The heart of life is really good. That's the fact of the matter. And I just want to, out of the scripture, almost trust that we would go into this week with that joy and knowing of, yes, I've got circumstances, but you know what? This is not my status quo. This is not how life is supposed to be going on. There is so much freedom. There's so much joy that God actually does offer us. The next point talks about patience, waiting on the Lord. We look at, wrote down Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The other scripture that I got that morning in intercession was Psalm 37, verses 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Like I've said now previously, it's something that I'm trusting God, but it's going to move away from our heads, and it's really something that's going to settle in our hearts. Because I really trust God for this in my own life a lot. And I think I must just repeat it. I think I said in the first sermon, I told the people, I'm not here this morning because I, what do you call a splinter? You get a bolt? What is that scripture? Where you get a bolt, or you get a little... It's a splinter. Thank you. It's still a splinter of God's angles. Anyway, I just felt God talking to me before and saying, you know, and I really wanted to put it out there. I'm not here this morning to say I'm seeing all the splinters in your eyes and I want to preach to you. It's due to the fact that I'm seeing a lot of bulbs in my eye and I'm preaching out of that. So I just really felt God was working through a lot of things with me in my life. But I also see it in church and really trust with you guys that we're going to be able to share together in this. But as I've said, the Christian walk is one of patience. It's really coming to a place of trusting God. You cannot do it without patience. Because, yes, Christian faith is not just sitting somewhere on a heap and waiting and waiting and waiting. Faith, as we know, is something active. But I think the heart's condition is how you go forward. That's what is crucial. The thing is, if you're not in a place of faith and trusting God, and you're doing a lot of things, then you're doing it out of the wrong place. This wait on the Lord, I really do believe, it's not only physically waiting, but it's a place where you're resonant in your heart. Yes, you may proceed, go forward. Really coming to that place. And I come to the last portion, which I really just want to focus a bit in on, the fact that we are sons and daughters. I never read the scripture in this way. Psalm 27, verse 10, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. You know, I basically just realized it when I was reading it this week. When a mother and a father forsakes their child, then obviously that child is an orphan by default. And it's so awesome in that light that God is saying, you know, even if you become an orphan, then I will not forsake you. I will take you in. And that is probably one of the main things that I've always focused on when I've preached, and I'm probably will focus on as future goes, is the fact that we are adopted as sons and daughters. So I hope you listened to what Tracy was saying. So I think she summarized my sermon in 1 minute. So if you're going to miss me, you can just remember what she said. The fact is, we are adopted as sons and daughters into God's kingdom. And I was telling books as well in the break between. It's something that I just realized this week, God just brought me back again to. I went through all my old notes and old sermons and things, and I just realized again, and I was asking questions, and I was like, God, but I need answers on these various things. And He just took me back to something that He's already showed to me again. And just that's the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. And It's for me one of the biggest revelations that you can get as a Christian, to be able to walk in victory, is the fact that you are a son and daughter of God. There's so much that lies in that. I think what happened to me a while ago as well, I was facing a lot of difficult situations. Now, there was two things that I did. The one was, I was looking at the situation and I was saying, okay, Lord, the law of consequences. I did a lot of few things wrong, you know that area of my life. I've repented a few times and I did it again. And yeah, so basically feeling the law of consequences is just happening here to me. So I see it, Lord, I'm sorry. And I'm realizing it's happening to me right now. I did a lot of wrong things and now it's happening. And then on the other side, trying to rectify or trying to counter steer the situation just to get out of it, I just ask God, you know, okay, Lord, just tell me what to do. I just want to do a lot of things now because I know I need to do a lot of things, and then I'll get out of the situation. And obviously coming this week just to almost a hopeless point of saying, Lord, okay, I realize I'm approaching this totally the wrong way. Because the fact is, the law of consequences is not grace. The grace of God does not say, listen, you've done this and this, and now you're going to receive this. Or, as mercy would go, you've done a lot of things, and therefore you do deserve this. The mercy of God says, even though you've done a lot of things, you're not gonna receive this punishment. And the grace of God says it's not based on how much you do. It's not based on, you know, because you've done step 1, 2, 3, therefore I will bless you. It's based on the fact that God is good. And I think I really just disregarded that approaching my situations. I was not acting as a son of God, because it's not God's heart to tell you, yes, Paul, well, you did a lot of things, and therefore I'm just, well, you're not a good son, so I can't bless you with these things. Therefore, so I'm sorry, you didn't qualify. And that's not the heart of God. And the main point I'll come to this morning, where I'm just really trusting us, like I've said, it was just, I think, a shift that I needed to make. If we look at Romans 11, I'll just read it for us quickly. I didn't put all the scriptures up there because I just really want us to focus on the one point. It says in Romans 11, now this portion of scripture talks about how the Jews were taken out and therefore a place was created for us as the Gentiles to be able to come into salvation. Now Romans 11, 19 says, you will then say, branches were broken off that we as the Gentiles were grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief, the Jews were broken off. Now listen to that part. It says, yes, you were grafted in because they were taken out. But why were they taken out? Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. It's just such a powerful thing for me. The main reason why the Jews were taken out, it says, and why a place, in a sense, was created for us, is due to the fact that they did not believe, and due to the fact that we do believe, says Paul to his community. Now in verse 22, he says, therefore consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. The goodness and the severity of God. We cannot disregard. We cannot say we just want the goodness of God. We just want the goodness. God is one being, and they talk about his goodness and his severity here. But due to the fact that the Jews came to a place of unbelief, he says, you are standing where you are standing today because you do believe. But he says, continue in this goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. Almost sending out a warning to his community. If we go to Galatians 3, Paul again writing to his church saying, this is only what I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, this is how you started. Exactly almost the same thing as Romans said. You started, you received the Spirit of God because you believed. You did not receive the Spirit of God because you did a lot of things. And then he goes on in Romans 3 talking about, listen, you're doing a lot of works now, and I know you wanted to be perfected, but how did you start? You started by believing, and therefore you received the Spirit of God. You didn't do anything else. Now, in one sense, it seems like, yes, we understand. We know, yeah, obviously, Paul, you know, we get this. But I just miss it so much on a daily basis. Because when we get to this place where you start doing a list of things and then expecting a list of things, or you're repenting because, you know, if you don't repent of these things, a lot of things are being withheld, or this is why you feel. And I just realized this week when somebody, you know, put a question to me, you know, I just realized that is such a fear-based gospel. That is not God's heart, and that is not how he motivates us. If we look here at Galatians 4, it goes on. Now I say that of the heir, as long as he is a child, he does not differ from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, and when he says this children, he talks about the fact that you were still unborn Christians. You have not been born again yet. And then he goes on to say, when you were still children, you were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God has sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that he might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now I just want to stand still here this morning. How do we always say in sermons, if you forget everything else, remember this. Listen to what it is saying about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who's been poured out into our hearts. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So what does the Holy Spirit do in our hearts? He cries out, Abba, Father, constantly. Now listen, this is the one thing that I'm really trusting that we're going to make a shift from. I asked in a previous sermon, and I'm not going to make it a trick question again. Is the Holy Spirit the one that reminds you or tells you or shows you, however you want to put it, that you have done sin? Do you feel the Holy Spirit is the one in your life that highlights these things?
The Holy Spirit's main part in our life, as it says here, is to show us the goodness of God. He says He has poured forth His Spirit into our hearts to cry out, Abba, Father, to constantly remind you that you are a son and a daughter of God. The Holy Spirit is definitely not there. Let me put it more bluntly, more plainly. The Holy Spirit's job is not to remind us or to sense to condemn us. Because what happens if you are being constantly reminded of you're not making it? Here's the bar. You need to do all these things. You need to be a good Christian. And we all know intuitively that there are certain things that we need to do. You need to be a nice person. You don't need to lose your temper. You shouldn't swear. You shouldn't say this. You shouldn't eat this. And all these list of things. And if you're not doing those things and you know you should be doing it, I really don't believe the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to come and constantly remind you that you're not hitting the bar. You're not making the cut. It says here in our hearts, the Holy Spirit cries forth, Abba, Father. Now, if He says, Abba, Father, what is He saying as well? He's saying, you're a son and a daughter of God. You have the Spirit of adoption in your life. We've got an accuser already who is constantly reminding us that we're not making it. We all know that the devil is standing at the right hand, not at the right hand, at the throne of God, as they say, and he is accusing us on a daily basis. Now, I just came again to a point this week and asking God, you know, Lord, but how do I get out of the situation? And especially this morning when I woke up and confronted something, and I was just like, but I'm not going to take this anymore. And it was just amazing how that thing just lifted. And it just almost as a penny dropped again for me. You know, the Holy Spirit is here to help me. Yes, He does guide us in all truth. And as we read the Bible, we are convicted about things. But the Holy Spirit is not there to constantly remind us of how much we are not making it. You know, if He's the Spirit of all truth, and if He is the, as they say in Hebrew, the Parakletos, the one who is there to support us. And this scripture just brings it so beautifully to the front for me as well, stating, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And I just really feel we need to come back to that place where the Holy Spirit encourages us. The Holy Spirit brings back that truth. This is the point where everybody says amen. I'm teaching you two things now, all right? Everybody seems so serious this morning. I just really feel that there's, you know, we can just come back to that place, you know, of peace and where God is really that, the one that encourages us. And, you know, I was telling the people, I really just do trust because in my life, it sometimes takes so long to stand still and say, Lord, I've drifted from you, you know. And it's just, that's why I really feel the Holy Spirit is just there to remind us, come back to God immediately. Even if you've sinned, don't walk away. Run into the presence of God. Don't go anywhere else. As Paul says here, constantly, Lord, I am just looking for your presence. I know that place and I'm running towards it. But there's also a bit of a stern warning here that Paul gives us in Galatians 5. Before I get there, we can just look at Galatians 5:5. It says, for we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Now again, it just confirms, it's so beautiful for me. If you are in a difficult situation or on a daily basis, we can do nothing by our own works. We cannot sit at God's table and say, listen, Lord, I've done this and this and this and this. It says here, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. As it says in Romans, why are we grafted in? Because we believe. It didn't say because of a lot of things you've done, because of the way you repented, because of what you've said. It says we are grafted in due to the fact we do believe. We eagerly wait for the Spirit with hope of righteousness by faith. It's just coming back to that basic thing. We believe in God and therefore we are. That's the fact of the matter. We cannot continue in any other matter. We go forward on that revelation. And I've just, you know, like I say, this week it's just coming back to me again. And again, trying to solve situations, trying to almost break through a situation and then asking God for an answer. And it was so awesome, you know, God just taking me back to this and just saying, listen, Paul, I've given this to you. You are a son and daughter. And the fact is, if you're a slave, there's no inheritance. Galatians 5 talks about two covenants. The one is under the slave woman and the other one is the free woman. So there's not a middle ground. You can't be somewhere in the middle sitting there. You're either acting under the covenant of the free woman or you're acting under the covenant of the slave woman. And it says later on in Galatians, put out the slave woman. Do not keep her inside your camp. Because that's the fact. We should be acting one or the other. And it was just a constant and awesome reminder for me this week. But there's a bit of a warning that comes along with it. If we look at Galatians 5:13, Paul again says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." But again, I want to focus on the positive here. He says, you've been called to liberty. I feel so many times, that's why I put those 4 points up at the beginning, the presence of God in the heart of life. The fact is, that is what we've been called for. You've not been called to feel guilty all the time. And it's something that I've struggled with a lot of my life. And one friend looked at me one day. He says, I don't know if, I think it's Nelson Mandela's famous poem or scripture or whatever he would call it. Not scripture. Nelson Mandela didn't write scripture. But there was this thing that he wrote that he says, but you know, he says that your greatest fear is not your inadequacy, but is how powerful we are actually, you know. And then my friend challenged me. He says, Paul, if you are walking around guilty all the time, feeling condemned, you know, beating yourself down, almost as a good Christian, who are you enabling to see the light of God? Who are you encouraging to see the light of God? And the answer is obviously not. Nobody is going to look at you and say, yes, Yanya, the Lord is good. You know, that's not going to happen. But I was just so encouraged again, realizing it this week. And I'm not, therefore, I think the fact that I don't lean towards that, because I've been in my life so many times afraid of saying, you know, the Lord is good in prosperity. And I was just like, Lord, prosperity gospel, I'm running and I'm moving away from it. But the fact of the matter is, he says, you've been called to liberty. You know, it's your right. You're giving something up that is totally from God and is not something warped. It's not something wrong. There's not a mixture. He says, I have paid this price. I've paid with my life for you to be able to have freedom. Yes, it does continue. It says, do not use it as an opportunity for your flesh. Yes, we are in the wrong when we do sin and when we obviously go the other path where God says, I've given you this liberty for my glory. But the fact of the matter is, yes, we shouldn't be using it for the wrong. But I want to encourage us this morning, focus on the fact that God has said, you have been called to liberty. Holy Spirit, come and establish this in my daily life. I am not supposed to walk through this life being negative and feeling sorry for myself and focusing on the situation, because the more I moan and the more I feel sorry, the more God's glory is going to manifest. You know, I think in a sense, it just opened up again this week, you know, trusting God to really bring breakthrough in my situations. And yes, I think what happened was, for a long time, I've used this liberty for my own happiness and a lot of wrong things, that you might put it. But that doesn't mean I should now just totally disregard and throw everything away. And I think that's what I almost did in a sense, you know. I've just put that freedom aside due to the fact that I'm getting it wrong. And I just really want to trust and come to this place again, you know, where God is just telling us, you know, this freedom is here. Now, there are a lot of signs that do show us, if we look at Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are very evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, all of the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I first want to go to the last portion. It says here, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let me just go to verse 23. He talks about all the good fruits, you know, the joy of the peace. And then it says, against such, there is no law. Now, I was telling the people previously, obviously, as we are sitting here, I think a lot of us do see some of these negative fruits, outbursts of wrath, anger, jealousies, and. We do see it in our lives. But I was telling the people again, so what is your focus? Are you going to go, oh my goodness, this is who I am, this is what I am? The fact is, you cannot pluck those fruits from the tree and expect other fruits to continually grow. Oh, there's jealousy. Okay, let's get that out of my life. Oh, there's this. We all know what needs to happen is the root needs to change. And now asking yourself, okay, but Lord, okay, I need to focus on being a son. I need to work more in faith. I need to work on my fasting. I feel Paul is just breaking it down for us. He says, under these other things, there is no law. So coming back to, what is this whole chapter going about? You're either walking in faith or you're walking in unbelief and fear. So I just want to encourage us this morning. Let's get it back to simplicity this week. Let's not make this big thing about, Lord, I've got 70 issues and I need to fast this way and I need to pray this prayer. I just really feel God is saying, you're under one covenant or you're under the other covenant. And there's no other thing. Amen, Annie. Thank you. But that's why I just feel there's so much of simplicity that I want to just bring forward this morning. And that we walk forward from there. And the deep things, yes, we do come to. But I just really feel that, you know, we need to stand still at this. And I think I've almost done this portion of scripture. Let's just go on to Hebrews 3, verses 12. Now, here's just a good example. Let me just take a sip here. Hebrews is almost like I was asking God, yes. So I'm seeing that I'm acting sometimes under this wrong covenant and doing the wrong thing. But now I'm asking myself, okay, Lord, but what is the pitfall? What is that thing that actually takes me there? Because it could obviously be a lot of things, and you want to, again, you've got 20 things before you, and you're like, okay, I'm going to sort this out, and I'm going to sort this out. And it's just such a big warning, but it just brings so much truth here in Hebrews 3, verses 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So can we just stop here? What is he warning about? Is he warning about a lot of things that you're doing wrong? He says, beware if there's what in your heart? Unbelief. Again, not showing a lot of things, just talking about those two things. You either are walking in faith, believing, or as the Jews in Romans 11 says, because of their unbelief, they were grafted out. It says, beware in any of you if there's an evil heart and of unbelief in departing from the living God. But I exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What does sin do? The more you sin and the less you repent, the more your heart starts growing cold. And you're obviously not going to be at a place where you understand that you're a son and daughter and you're walking in that freedom if you are caught in this negative cycle of sin. And I think that's why so many times we do realize, you know, I just, like I said, yes, it's a stern warning. We should not be doing this. You know, what did Jesus say to the people after he healed them? Go and sin no more. You know, because he wasn't condemning them. He was just saying, because that's probably where you're going to be ending up right again. If you just continue in this negative way, if you continue in your sin, you're going to be right back at the same place. Again, I just feel this morning we need to walk away from a place of condemnation and coming to a place where there's healthy conviction due to the fact that we understand God is good and his heart is for us. And he has created and he has paid the ultimate price for us to have this freedom. And throughout scripture, he is declaring this. And in the same breath, yes, he is saying, lay down your lives to pick up my life. But I think it's the heart that we approach it with. Is it this very heavy burden, negative thing? Or is the fact that, you know, Lord, because of your goodness, I just realize who you are. I'm freely laying down my life. But I really do believe, and I've seen it in my own life, the more we focus on how much you're missing it, the more you want to lay down, the less you want to lay down your life. Because you're just like, I'm a total failure in this Christian thing. But I just feel coming back to that place of saying, God, I do see these things in my life, but I do see that in your goodness, you have said, if I believe, only believe, then I may receive. And I thank God for that. You know, it just brings such a relief to me in my personal life. You know, it just takes a lot away, so much pressure of trying to perform, trying to do 10,000 things. And I want to encourage people who are in situations this morning where, you know, it's just become such a big thing. You don't know where to go or stop or not. And should I not, Lord, or what? And I just feel, come back to this place. Coming to the heart of understanding who God is and what his heart is for you. If you maybe have to make a decision, you've turned this road and you know you're not on the right road, I really do believe out of his goodness, God will show you. You know, my son, I know it's a wrong road, but I'm not condemning you and saying it's over, but I think you should have taken this road. I really do believe that's the heart of God. That's who God is and speaking to us. But if we obviously realize, oh my goodness, I'm on the wrong road, I've done it wrong again, you know, there is somebody, unfortunately, who's going to be reminding you every day of it. Louis Giglio gave such a powerful sermon about just this, you know, facing sin and not getting over sin. And he says, you know, the one Christian that really, you know, he says the devil walks around and he knocks at doors. And then he opens the door and he asks the guy, who are you? And he says, well, I'm a child of God, redeemed by faith. And then he walked to the next house. He says, well, can I just find somebody who's a bit condemned? Due to the fact, you know, because if the devil comes to you in your life and he wants to remind you of your sin, like he was telling us in that sermon, he says, well, devil, you want to remind me of my sin? Well, come with me. Let's just go and look at the cross. Let's look at the cross. And when he turns around, the devil's not there because he's at the next door, knocking on somebody's door, who's going to take that condemnation on him. And I just feel that was so powerful when she shared that scripture this morning. It just needs to sink a lot more into my heart as well. God has paid the price, you know. Jesus Christ is risen, and he has bought our freedom with his life. And I cannot, we cannot make that a cheap thing. We cannot focus enough on that. It's something that I just want to, a lot of my life, just focus so much more on the fact that he has paid that price. And I want to end off with a positive scripture, if I can put it that way. Something that I want to bless us into this week. And many times in the past, I would have read the scripture and I would have just put it aside because, yes, Lord, but people are going to misinterpret this and people are going to focus on prosperity and whatnot. But looking at all these things, as we look at Psalm 67 and going, especially into this week, let me just get it here for us. Listen to the cry that David says here. God, be merciful to us and bless us. It's just awesome for me. He, you know, this guy that runs into God's headquarters, I want to say, into his house, into his presence. You know, this guy that knows his very life depends on the fact if he is in contact with God or not. He says, God, be merciful to us and bless us. And then it comes, why does he save us? And cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. Amen, David. Huh? I mean, he just gets it, you know. But the fact is, before he says your salvation to all the nations, I just feel in our daily lives, that's why I think, forget prosperity, but I think, don't throw that out and throw the freedom out. Focus on the fact that this guy is saying, Lord, bless us, because if we do not have your presence in our lives, we are basically nothing. You know, because what are we doing if we do not have God in our situations? I was telling them in the previously, a Chinese man went to America and he came back and they'd asked him, what was so amazing about America and the church? And he says, well, it's unbelievable what those people can accomplish without God. And I just, whoa, and it just hit me, you know. How much of my life do I actually still accomplish and how much is God involved in that? Because Angus Buchan challenged us always. The seed of a great miracle is not the difficulty, it's the impossibility of the situation. And Esther's mom came to me halftime and she was just preaching to me again for 10 more minutes. And it's so awesome, you know. And she says, you know, you either walk in belief or you walk in unbelief. And I just said, amen, you know. There's areas in my life where I just need to acknowledge the fact that, Lord, how much faith am I walking in here? Or how much am I actually just after a few years of grafting and working out the mold, you know, I can operate in this space, you know, because I know exactly what to do. And I just feel, you know, we need to come back to that place where we're just saying, Lord, I am dependent on you every day. And what happens in our lives? A lot of times a situation comes up. And like, as I said, I like to quote, God gives us a problem which money cannot solve. You know? And it just comes into your face and you thought you've worked it out, you've budgeted, you've planned, you've studied, and then something comes up which you cannot handle. And I feel it's not to remind us or to condemn us. It's just the fact that I think we can just approach that situation of almost laughingly saying, Lord, I don't know, but I thank you, you know, I said that four times, okay. But it's just such a, I think, like I said, just a little shift of the mind that I feel would need to happen. And I think, and I really do thank God, you know, in small areas of my life that I just can come to that place of saying, Lord, I'm not sure, Lord, and I don't know how the situation is, but I'm not going to lie here on the floor feeling like a worm the whole day. I'm going to stand up and thank you, God, that I can go forward and I don't have to feel bad for 5 days to receive your grace because you've paid it. It's not about me. It's not about what I do. Even if I keep on sinning, God is still going to remain the same. And it's only my choice that can keep me away from God. But I thank God that he does give me the choice every day to stand up and make that choice of saying, Lord, I'm coming to you, me and my rags, whatever. I'm just going to praise you and I thank you that you have bought me for freedom and you've called me to freedom. And Holy Spirit, cry again out into my heart, Abba Father, declaring the fact that I am a son and daughter of God. All right, guys, I'm just going to pray for us this morning. And Saskia, maybe you can, yeah, play guitar for us or piano. And like I said, I really do trust God that, you know, we, as I love to say, that the penny would drop in our own lives, in the specific circumstances in our lives. But, you know, really trusting God to say, Lord, come and bless me, Lord, because you know the situation, I cannot handle it, but that your way may be known in all the earth. Because isn't that what we're living for and what we really want to aspire to coming to a place where we say that your salvation is known among the Gentiles, among the whole earth. Let's close our eyes quickly. Father God, we come and thank you, Lord, and we say that you are good, Lord. We come back to the foundation and the reality that Jesus Christ died for our sins, Father God. He paid the price and He bought our freedom, Lord. That we might be able to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, live in my heart. Come and take over the steering wheel. Lord, we just thank you for the fact that there is freedom this morning, Lord. We just worship you, Lord. We just come and say that you are good, Lord. And I'm just going to say, if this morning, if there's anybody in this house this morning, whatever you're feeling on your heart, if you really want to, if you want to respond to what I've been preaching this morning, if you want to, you know, just say, Lord, I want to deal with a certain thing. Just come to the front as we're now worshiping and ministering.
I just feel to share this story that my middle sister hasn't been able to have children and she's adopted two children. And she always tells the story that where some people carry their babies in their tummy, they're a natural mother, and then others carry their babies in their heart. You were conceived by God in His heart thousands of years ago. And He's going to love you for 1,000 years to come. And if you feel that you need to come forward because you need to, she had to sign a document to say that she's actually becoming the mother of that little girl. And the amazing thing is they moved to the UK, and this little girl is a Zulu girl. Her name was Nonhlanhla, which means lucky. She's now called Noah. She's part of our family. And she went overseas, and she's in a school in the UK. And she's got a reading ability 2 years above what the rest of the class has. So she's inheriting blessings that God wanted her to inherit. And she's been saved out of a poverty culture into the kingdom of God. And I just feel that this morning, in line with what Paul has preached, which I think is so powerful, that sometimes we need to come and say, we want to sign up, we want to be the daughters of and the sons of the living God. Even if you've had a fantastic father, because I know the angle is sometimes if you've had a bad father come up. Even if you've had a fantastic father, we need God to be our father to inherit every spiritual blessing that He has for us.
Amen. Amen. So yeah, like I said, if there's anybody that just wants to respond to the word, otherwise, we're just going to continue worshiping, yeah? But we'll be at the front, and yeah, God bless you if you want to depart. And yeah, thanks for being with us this day. But yeah, if there's anybody, but there's a lot of people that will take time out to pray with you.